Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to worship you, to be able to praise you, to be able to sing songs to you. They mean so much to our heart. They warm us up. They give us that relationship. Please be with us now as we get into your word and help us get that faith-building knowledge that comes from that. Let all of it bring honor and glory to you. And we thank you so much for this chance. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. One of the things we got to recognize Jesus Christ as our Savior is that He is the door, as He says in His words in John chapter 9, I am the door. And you can relate this all the way back, as you know, I love to go back to the origins, back to the book of Genesis. The book that is under an extreme attack in our world today, even within the churches, they are attacking the book of Genesis. They are attacking the literal existence of Adam and Eve now. Not only are they attacking creation, but now they're starting to attack the existence of Adam and Eve. Whether it was just a moral story that with a good moral content to give us lessons, or whether it was a true historical fact. And it was and is a true historical fact, and we can stand solid on the Word of God as knowing that it is true and accurate. All the way back to the book of Genesis. So you got to look back to, you know, why is Jesus Christ the door? Why do we go through to Him to have that reconciliation with God? Why is there a need for reconciliation with God? The only reason that there is because we have been severed. That relationship had been severed, had been torn apart, so that we have to go through the door of Jesus Christ to get that connection once again with God. Just like the priesthood we were talking about in Sunday school, about going into the Holy of Holies, going beyond that veil into the Holy of Holies to be with God. That veil was like the doorway. And when Jesus Christ was on the cross, that veil was rent from the top to the bottom. That door was no longer applied to salvation. He became the door for salvation at that time, so that He is our door today. And this all goes back to Adam and Eve. So if you will, turn over to Genesis chapter 2. And we're doing a foundational, basic training, foundational beliefs for Christians on Wednesday nights. So this is going to be a little bit of a repeat for some of you that have been into this study. But let's go over it now here in Genesis chapter 2. We'll look at a couple things here. We know that God gave Adam one commandment, and that was in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16 to 17. Here we can get it, just a small recap on it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." That one simple commandment through the Mosaic law, through the whole period there of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they were given some 633 plus minus rules, regulations, and statutes to follow after this fall of man. Prior to Adam falling by disobeying this one commandment here, all he had to do was one commandment. Put up the tree there with fruit on it. Appealing looking fruit, saying, "Don't eat of it." Simple as that. But yet, he decided to do things his own way, turned against God, and did eat of it. And let's look at that account here of the fall of mankind over in Genesis chapter 3. And we see someone else here also that fell as a result of this, which was Satan himself, who was Lucifer. But we'll get into that in another study. But right now, let's just look briefly here at Genesis chapter 3. Let's come over to verse 6 for time's sake. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." That was against God. Simple instruction. Don't eat of that tree. They turn around and say, "I don't care what you said. It looks good. I'm going to eat it." They ate of it. That sin, it sounds so trivial when you think about it. Oh, they just took this piece of fruit and ate it. You know, why the big deal over eating a piece of fruit? It wasn't the simple process of eating the fruit. It was the fact that they denied what God told them. They turned their back on God, decided to do things their own way. That severed the relationship between man and God. That is the death that he's talking about here, because the true definition of death is actually separation. Because when we die physically, we are separated from our body. And that death was the death of the spiritual connection that man once had with God was severed. That's how he died. That relationship was separated. That is what he's speaking of here when he speaks of the death. And we get another lesson of a doorway that he gave us as an opportunity of salvation if you flip over to Genesis chapter 6. Now we know this is the account of Noah. The planet had gotten so evil that God had to do something. And here in verse 5 reads, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Because of the fall of Adam and Eve there, that sin came into the hearts of man. That separation and that relationship between man and God was severed right there. All the children of Adam and Eve, therefore, were separated from God because of what Adam and Eve did there in the garden. And it got to the point where it was so much evil, so much turned away from God, that God had to do something here. And it says in verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart." I mean, to the point where it made God sad that He had created man altogether. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." This would give you an indication that that evil had even overflowed into the animal kingdom, into the animal world. Many speculate that maybe animals became evil because of the influence of Satan on the serpent there, because the first animal that Satan influenced. And when Satan was cast down to earth, his influence became filled even in the animals. I mean, you know, in the world today, there are animals out there that are extremely mean and evil animals that will just devour you, eat you up. That's the influence of Satan. I'm not giving that for sure, but we know that it angered God so much that He was even going to destroy the animals off the face of the planet. Because it said there again, it says, "And the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them," all of them, all of creation. He got so mad at all of creation because they had turned so far away from Him, even the animals themselves. It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Okay, let's flip over to chapter 7 here in verse 1. Continue this account here. Chapter 7, verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." And he gives Noah a commandment to bring the animals in that were directed to come to Noah. He didn't have to go all over the world trying to find each one of the animal kinds. They came to him. The Lord had them come to him. And they came into the ark. And verse 7, drop on down to chapter 7, verse 7 reads, "And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood." So they knew it was fixing to flood. Okay, why did he go in there, and when did he go in there? If you back up, remember you got to sort of bounce around sometimes. Back up into verse 4 here, it reads, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." So he had 7 days. Come into the ark. In 7 days, I'm going to start making it rain. So Noah had 7 days to stand there in the doorway of the ark and beckon people to come in. People say, well, was it big enough? Sure, it was big enough. If you look at the dimensions that are given to us here in these accounts, we used to recreate that today, it's a huge, huge ship capable of handling all the animal kinds as well as thousands of people if they would have came in. The door was there. The door is representational of Jesus Christ. That door was open to them. For 7 days, that door was open, and Noah stood there and preached and tried to get them to come in. They did not come in. And at the end of that 7 days, the door was shut. In verse 16, "And they that went in male and female of all flesh of God, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." The Lord God closed that door of the ark. Noah didn't close that. The animals didn't close that. God closed that door, closing them in. Also note back in verse 1, And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. He didn't say, hey, you guys go get in the ark. He said, come. Come thou into the ark. Because Jesus was in there with them. God was there with them in the ark. He says, come on into the ark. Representing that what we have to do in our salvation today is to come to the Lord. He's beckoning us to come to Him by way of the door, which is Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, over to John chapter 10, over in the New Testament. In John chapter 10. I mean, these accounts that some folks out there are trying to abandon in the book of Genesis are critical to the foundational beliefs of us as Christians. Because, you know, why did Jesus Christ come and die on the cross? Why is He our door? Why do we have to have reconciliation? It's because of what happened in the book of Genesis. So never abandon the book of Genesis. Don't let them tell you that it's just a moral story that gives you some good moral ideas to follow and recommendations. And don't fall for that. It's a true historical account of events that occurred. It's the authority of the Word of God. Don't abandon that. All right, John chapter 10. Let's pick it up here in verse 7. It reads, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He is the door. He is the only way for that reconciliation, for us to enter in to that, as it was in the Old Testament times, the Holy of Holies. That point where we can have that relationship with God once again. And He is the only way of that. I continue and turn over to Romans. In Romans chapter 1, Romans is such an awesome book. It teaches us so much about the behavior of man. In Romans chapter 1 here, let's look at down verse 18. Let's pick it up in verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 reads, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God's right and wrong is revealed to man. They can't say, well, I didn't know better. You know, you can't go by that. All of it's revealed, and it continues in detail here. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, or revealed, in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The existence of God, the fact that the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all is revealed to mankind through God's creation. This world, the universe, everything He has created proclaims the existence of God loudly and clearly to any of those that want to open their ears and hear it. Whether they have the Scriptures or not, God reveals Himself to all mankind. But what does mankind do with that? Do they ignore that? Do they deny that? Do they start coming up with fables and theories and of evolution and so forth and different idols that they want to create? Because they know those, you have no accountability with those. But if they believe what God is revealing to them in all of His creation, that there is a Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that we are created by Him, for Him, then there's accountability for their actions. And this explains that they are without excuse. So they can't come up to heaven and say, hey, nobody gave me a Bible tract. Nobody showed me the King James Version. I didn't go to a Baptist church. I didn't go to a church of God. I didn't go to a Catholic church. They can't say any of that. They can only be accountable for what they have done themselves. Whether it's been revealed to them, whether somebody knocked on the door and gave them a Bible tract or not, they have no excuse for not coming to the God, because He calls them to all of those that are out there. All of them have been given the chance of salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever. That comes to everyone. So as it says here in the last part of chapter 1 and verse 20, it reads, so that they are without excuse. You're without excuse for your behavior, that you have not come to the Lord. You can't say that you didn't have this or you didn't have that when it comes to judgment day. And the only way you're going to get there is through the doorway of Jesus Christ. He is the doorway. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not any other false deity that somebody has created out of their imagination. None of that's going to get you to heaven. Only by Jesus Christ. Only. Okay, continuing here in verse 21, let's get a little bit more here in Romans. It reads, because that when they knew God, because God revealed Himself to everybody on this planet, whether somebody says, no, I don't believe in God, or I'm an atheist, or I'm a whatever they might want to come up with, I don't believe, that's what they choose not to. They choose to deny God, but God has revealed Himself to everybody on this planet, whether they admit it or not. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, for their foolish heart was darkened. What else can I get into? What do I want to do besides this thing over here that causes accountability? Let's get into something else. Verse 22. Let's get into science. You know, that's something that they're harping about a lot now. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Thinking that, well, I am so educated, I've got this PhD and all these other letters and initials because I've been trained by all these professors and in these different colleges and so forth, so I am so superior to someone who is raised in a country church out there that has no knowledge. Wrong, wrong, wrong. If you've got the knowledge of God, you've got the true knowledge. You've got the true quality knowledge. Because professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. This is talking about idols. It's like, okay, maybe if I can figure out a different way here, I'll carve this figure here and I'll worship it instead. And that'll make me feel good because I'm doing something good because I'm worshiping. But if you're not worshiping Jesus Christ, then you ain't doing it right. Verse 24, wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So they were so disobedient, mankind now, mankind of the past, has been so disobedient that God sort of backs off. So, okay, I won't have any more influence on you and keep you from doing those evil things. I'll just turn you over and let you do all the simple things you want. Continue in verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The creature more than the Creator. Worshiping a man more than Jesus Christ. Worshiping a pastor or a preacher or a priest or anything else more than Jesus Christ. Are you the follower of a man or are you the follower of Jesus Christ? Who is your true shepherd? Is it some man who says that he's your shepherd, or is it Jesus Christ, who is the true and only shepherd, the only way to God, the only true open door that we can go into and accept that free gift of salvation is by Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ only. Putting Him in His proper place here. Don't worship an idol. Don't worship a planet. Don't worship the whales, the polar bears, and so forth more than God. You've got to keep your priorities right. And that is, God is who we worship, and only God, and through Jesus Christ. Continuing, we see what occurred here because they had that kind of an attitude. Verse 26 reads, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Let's talk about lesbianism. We sure got that overflowing and going out today. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. Talk about homosexuality. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. I can still say that from the pulpit today, but there's a force in this country right now that is rising and rising and trying to keep anybody from saying anything against the so-called gay movement or the gay lifestyle. Oh, they were born that way. They can't help it. No, no, no. And right here it explains what happened to them. They denied the existence of God. They turned their back on God and He let them go and be what they wanted to be, and that was that kind of a lifestyle. Reason verse 28 reads, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they don't want to think about God, because if they think about God, then He knows accountability for their behavior. Don't want to do that. Because God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You deny God long enough, that door closes. Just like at the ark. 7 days. They had 7 days to come to salvation. Noah standing there preaching to them, saying, come on in, come on in. 7 days. Then boom, God closed that door. Same thing here is what it's referring to here, this reprobate mind. You have a limited time to come to the Lord. He's only going to call you so many times. If you deny Him and turn away from Him over and over again, that door will close. You will not have another opportunity to come to Him after that. You get turned over to what it says here, a reprobate mind, which means a mind with no influence of God. So when you've got a conscience, you're approaching something that you're wondering, well, is that, should I do that or should I not do that? And some people call it that little voice inside. That's the influence of God on you to keep you from doing that thing that you know you shouldn't be doing. But when you reach a point where you've been turned over to a reprobate mind, you no longer have that influence. That's why you can look out in this world and see such evil that is just shocking to us. You know, how could somebody do such evil? It's because they no longer have any influence of God on them whatsoever. The only ones that will come to a temptation and back off or fall into that temptation and regret it later are those that still that God is still working with. So if you're dealing with anybody, if you're witnessing to anybody that's out there that has fallen away, has sinned, has gotten into the world, if he regrets what he has done, if he has fallen away, then you know that the Lord is still working with him. But if he doesn't care one bit, if he can go out here and slaughter people, if he can go out here and do all sorts of evil, all sorts of evil behavior and try to get others to come in there and participate in it as well, he may have gotten to the point where that door has been closed. He's been given that mind, that reprobate mind. God is no longer working with him. There's nothing you can do for them. So we've got to remember that when we're dealing with people. Don't waste your time on somebody who has a reprobate mind. They are without hope. Go to those that are truly repented, that are truly wanting to hear the Word of God, that want to turn their life around. The Lord is still working with them. God is still calling them. That's where He wants us to be working with those. So focus your time and attention on the ones that still have hope. People like to think, well, you've got an opportunity for salvation all the way up to the grave. That is a dangerous way of thinking because people will start, oh, okay, I'm still young and I'm going to just ignore it. My parents go to church, my friends are going to church. I don't want to. I want to go to the bar instead. You know, and you'll get to the point where that door is a limited time. That door is going to be open and then it's going to be closed. You won't have another opportunity. We get into this further, but for time's sake, I'm going to end it right here. We can look into the book of Thessalonians where it talks about at the time of the rapture, when the rapture occurs, all those prior to the time of the rapture that have heard the gospel will be given strong delusions that they believe a lie. If they've been given the gospel and they had reached this point where God's ready to give up to them, they will not have a chance once it's revealed to them at the rapture. When they see all these people disappear and they see the wrath of God starting to come upon the planet, they say, hey, I remember Grandma telling me about that. I think I better give my life over to the Lord. Too late. They'll be given the strong delusions to believe a lie. And that's found over in Thessalonians chapter 4, talking about the rapture. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12 reads, and for this cause God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That door gets closed to them. At the rapture, there's going to be millions and millions of people that the door is going to close. No longer have the opportunity, just like back in the book of Genesis with the flood. 7 days there, that door was open. Don't miss your opportunity to go through the door of Jesus Christ, to go into the place of rest, to go into eternity with the Lord, to have salvation, to get on board the ark, because that door, Jesus Christ, is only going to be open to you for so long. Then it's going to close. We don't like to think about that. Preachers don't like to preach about that because then you think it might scare people away. It's only going to scare people away. It ain't going to scare people away that have still have an opportunity for salvation. The only ones that are going to turn their back and go away from it probably wouldn't be listening to begin with. They have no inclination whatsoever to come to a church. They don't want to hear any of it. You slam the door in your face. They throw your Bible tracts on the ground. They ignore all the influence of God in their lives to the point where one day that door closes. Don't let the door close on you. And then let it be everlasting too late. Because once it's closed, it's over. Let's close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Your word tells us so many things that we need to know. The urgency that we need to know right now. Let us, if there's anybody in here that has not come through the door, your door, you are the door. If they have not come through, help them make that decision now before it's everlasting too late. Before that door of opportunity closes on them and they receive that reprobate mind and never have an inclination once again to come to you. Please, if there be anybody here, if there be anybody listening on the radio, if there be anybody on the internet that is hearing this sermon and has not made that decision, please help them make that decision right now before it's everlasting too late. Thank you so much. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.